Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. Good morning to all of you. I hope your mornings have... This morning's been good. It's only supposed to be 60, I think, today. And got a little rain, which made the pastures kind of green up just a little bit. And I think we're on the cusp of spring here. This week's supposed to be nice, so hopefully it will rain sunshine on us for the next week. Maybe dry us out just a little bit. 602-508-0960 if you want to join us. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. There's not a week that goes by that I don't get a call from a happy customer. They tell me Quality Transmission, very knowledgeable. They said they saved me money, or they actually fixed it when nobody else could. So in addition to repairing transmissions, Quality can do clutch repairs, drive shafts, drive axles, CV boot replacements. CV is constant velocity boot replacements, which is front-wheel drive axles. Quality Transmission is located on McClintock, just north of University in Tempe. Okay, I want to go over the basic fundamentals of car repair. Pay attention. Sit down and pay attention. When you take your car in for repair, you either tell them what services, and we're going to call that maintenance, because there's just two parts of our world, maintenance and repair. You're going to say, would you please perform these for me? At that point, if you have a problem, just give them the symptoms. Just give them the symptoms, and preferably in writing. So just take a minute, type it up before you leave, and hand it to them. And then you have a copy of it as well. So, when your car goes into the shop, the phone call that comes back to you is going to be one, you know, number one call, number two call, or both of them. Number one call is we have completed your oil change. And while we did your oil change, we noticed that you need to have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and we needed to flush your engine for $329. Now, when you get the laundry list, you should ask, let's go back to the very first one. You said I need a brake fluid flush. Why? Well, Arizona's dirty and the air is dirty. Whenever you hear that, I want you to tune them out. That is the only sales pitch many places have. And in reality, it's no different here than it is in Wisconsin. I mean, they don't have the dirt, but they got the cold. It's okay. Arizona's not the worst place in the world. It may be a hellhole, but it's not the worst place in the world. And it's far from the dustiest place in the world. So it's important to just let that go in one ear out the other. So it gives you this laundry list, and this is what you say. This is the default. Mark, that's pretty interesting. So I need four different things. Why don't you do me a favor? I'm really busy right now, and I just can't deal with this right now. So write all those down and give me three things, please. Tell me what it is you think I need and why, and then give me a price. And give me an out-the-door price. How much do I have to write my check for, kind of thing. Okay? So make sure you write it on my work order. Okay. Thank you for doing my oil change. I'll pick up the car at 3. It's important that you have that conversation because you're protecting yourself. Now, they'll call you back, and you said, I have an idle problem, and intermittently it dies at a traffic light. That's an important thing to tell them. And then they're going to call you back, and they're going to say, well, we've done the diagnosis, and we've determined that you need a new computer, and the bill's going to be $800. The next question out of your mouth is, are you absolutely sure the computer will fix my idle problems? Are you absolutely sure? Or is this a guess? Because if it's a guess, I need to know now. I need to know whose money we're guessing with. No, Mr. Jones. It's we're going to fix the idle problem with a new computer. Okay, so what happens if you put the new computer in and we don't fix the problems? Then what do we do then? I don't know. Oh, it's going to fix the problem. Don't worry about it. It's going to fix the problem. Okay, we'll put the old computer in the box and set it on my front seat for me. You guys go ahead and do it, but I'm going to assume that this is a fix and not a guess. Oh, there's a core charge on the computer. That's okay. I'll bring it back, and I'll also pay for the core charge. So put that thing, wrap it up in plastic, put it on the, I mean, it's no bigger than a small book, a Nancy Drew
Caller
book.
Scotty.
So the idea is that you're putting them on notice that you recognize your responsibilities. Because, folks, it turns out ugly otherwise. So you go pick up your car. You didn't ask for your old parts back. You didn't ask them if it was a guess or a fix. You just spent $600, and you still have the same problem. You're in trouble. But if you had your old part, you could go back and say, put this back on. Let's unwind this whole deal and go back to zero. And do you want another chance at this problem? I'll give you one if you want. But if not, I'll take it someplace else. But you said this would fix my idle problem, and I have exactly the same idle problem. Okay, quick story. Guy takes his car into a transmission shop, and he says it has a really weird shift pattern. The guy goes, oh, you got a lot of miles on that. He says, let me look at it. And the customer says, well, how much do you think? He goes, 2,100. Okay, good. All right, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to call you back. Okay, so he calls him back, 4 or 5 hours later. And he says, I messed up. It's really 3,300. He goes, what happened to the 21? Well, it's got more wrong with it. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll just take it. Okay, so just I'll pay for what you've done. No, sir, you don't understand. I've got your transmission out on the bench and in 2,000 parts. You don't think he knows that you can't take it anywhere? You're not going to put your transmission in a shopping cart and bring it to my shop. That's you're stuck there. So the guy goes, okay, I understand the position I'm in. He says, go ahead and do it. And here's the bad words. When you hear these, you have to run. He says, you have to pay for it up front, and it has to be cash. Do you know why they say that? It's because they're behind in their sales tax, and the state of Arizona Department of Revenue has attached their account, and any money that goes through their credit card machine or through their checking account gets attached. It's a bad thing. Nobody wants cash. The only time we want cash is, or the only time we want money up front is if we're going to do a special order part. That's if you don't show up, at least you own it. But that's all. So he says, okay, he drops by 3,300, he picks up the car, you know the end of the story, it still has the same problem, he takes it back 6 times. Still problem, same exact problem. He decides, okay, fine, I'm going to go somewhere else. So he goes someplace else, and the guy goes, you need a new transmission. He says, are you sure? Yep. They put a new transmission in, $3,800. Now he's out 33 plus 38. Do the math. He drives it away, and it has exactly the same problems, and he goes back. The end of the story is the second shop finally found a wire harness that was bad, exterior to the transmission. It was never the transmission or inside the transmission. This was never a problem inside the transmission. There was nothing wrong with the transmission. The cable, the wire harness that went from the computer to the transmission was sending shift signals, but the transmission wasn't getting it because the cable and the wiring was defective. So the guy would drive down the road, and all of a sudden, the two wires would touch together, and he'd be in drive, and all of a sudden, it'd go to first gear, and the back tires would lock up, and he'd go on the freeway. After they put the harness in, the car's fixed. $2,100 for the harness. $2,100. All he needed was $2,100, but he's got $33 to shop A and $38 to shop B and $2,100 to shop B. So now he's suing everybody. That's okay, because I'm on his side. That's okay. Two people didn't treat him right. Two people did a lot of guessing, and neither one of them fixed it. And that's what they were paid to do. So he's got an attorney. I've reviewed the case and told the attorney I'd be happy to be on his side. Because that's not what we're supposed to do. He should pay the 21, because that's what ultimately fixed it. But the 38 and the 33 need to be given back to him. Yeah, we'll see what happens. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't put yourself in that position. All righty. One other quick thing is... I'm grateful that no one has my cell phone number because all my friends do, and you're my friends, but they call me, and this is what I hear. Mark, I got a truck, and it pulls really hard, but an alignment's been checked, and it's in specification. All the tires are brand new, and they've been rotated and balanced, and Mark, it's you know, everything's fine, so what's making it pull? Don't do that to me. What you're telling me is that you're standing in front of me and there's blood gushing out of the top of your head and you're covered from head to toe with blood and I say, how you doing? And you say, I feel fine. Don't tell me everything's okay. That a friend of mine called me with that. And then just after that, here's another friend calls me. He says, hey, do you know anything about Harley Davidsons? This guy's a helicopter pilot. God bless him. He's a helicopter pilot. My Harley won't start. Everything just clicks. But the battery's been checked. I took out the battery. I took it over here. Had them check it. That was fine. Put it back in. It still clicks. Nobody knows anything what to do. Blah, 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 blah. I say, hey, I need to know what the voltage is on the battery. And he interrupts me and he goes, 12.8. I says, the voltage in the battery in your hand doesn't mean nothing to me. I want to know what the voltage is when you hit the key, when you hit the start button. Put your cables on, take your digital voltmeter, touch the two terminals, and tell me what it is. So he takes the seat off, and he hooks up his gauges, and he hits the button, and he goes, oh, there's a spark. And I said, there's your problem. I said, where'd the spark come from? He goes, the positive cable. I said, the positive cable's loose. Grab a pair of vice grips. He did. He squeezes the clamp over the post, and he starts it up. And I said, let me get this straight. You took the battery out for problem A. You took it down, and they tested it. First of all, you don't ever take anything off your car to
test
it. You test it where it lives. You test it in the bike. So you take it out. When you put it in, you not only missed the loose cable when you took it out, you missed the loose cable when you put it back in. How did that happen? You said everything's been checked. You think everything's fine. So I teased him a long time. Then I told him I'd send him a bill for $1.98. But the bottom line is that it's not a good idea to open up the conversation with everything's already been checked. Because something is wrong. And if there's something wrong, everything hasn't been checked. And so just the symptoms, folks, just the symptoms. That's what makes our world go round, is just the symptoms. Remember, my car pulls hard. The alignment's been checked and it's perfect. It's well within specifications. All the tires are new. And we've rotated and balanced them, and just nothing will fix this. Well, what does he want me to say? Your gas tank is loose?
1 minute.
Doesn't make any sense. The idea is symptoms. 602-508-0960. And Jeremy, who was the first one? Scott?
Scotty.
Scott, you stay right there because you're first. And I'm going to cool off and get control of myself here. But we've got open lines available. Scott's the only one. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. 508-0960. And if you'd like to call us, we'd be happy to take your car question. Last week we did 19 calls. And I think we're going to go for the record this week. 21 is the record. So if we can work really, really hard, we can do a record. 602-508-0960. And we're going to fly through callers. Just give me your make and model, the mileage, and what the symptoms are, and we'll have a discussion. My name is Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot AM right here, 960 AM every Saturday between 10 and noon. Welcome back, everybody. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. I'm your host, and just like we promised, we're going to go talk to Scott. Scott, thank you for holding as long as you did. How can I help you today?
Good morning. I'm reading your column in today's Mesa Republic insert in the paper.
Okay.
And I want a clarification on how to reprime the fuel pump after it's been sitting for a while.
Okay.
You state that initially you key on for 5 seconds. Now, I'm assuming key on means to the accessory part only, not trying to start it?
No, it's the position just before crank, and thank you for bringing that up. Just before crank. So
okay.
You're going to turn the key clockwise, and just before crank, that's the on position.
Okay. And then you turn it off, then you turn it back on for another 5 seconds, so that would be the same thing, just
yes, sir.
Before crank. And then you say if the computer doesn't see the engine start in 4 seconds, well, does this mean we're now cranking at this point?
No, and I'm sorry for the confusion. Here's what I want you to do. First of all, it's you're going to have no fuel pressure in the system.
Okay.
When you hit the key, the engine's just going to crank over. And the computer, if it doesn't see the engine start in 3 to 4 seconds, it's just going to turn the fuel pump off.
Is that permanent?
We're going to trick the computer. We're going to turn the key on for 5 seconds, then we're going to turn it off, then we're going to turn it on, turn it off. The third time, when you hit the key and start it, it should start right up because you've taken the fuel pressure from 0 to 40 pounds.
Okay.
And during that process, the reason why I'm having you go to 5 seconds is because some cars are 3 seconds, some cars are 4 seconds, and some cars are 5 seconds. So I want you to go to 5 seconds because what we're doing is when you turn the key on, the computer wakes up and says, holy mackerel, he's got the key on. That means he's going to start it. Fuel pump, you start up. Windshield wipers, are you off? Da-da-da-da-da. And then you go crank, 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 and the fuel pump isn't going to catch up, so you're going to turn it off. And I only want you to crank once instead of 3 or 4 times. So we're going to prime the system, and that's
okay.
How you do it.
Now, the next question then is, if you get to the point where the fuel pump shuts off, can it be rebooted? Is that a permanent failure, or what's the deal?
Great question. Here's what happens. The engine cranking speed is 200 to 300 RPM, and the computer knows it's cranking. As soon as the computer sees the engine spark to life and go 6, 7, 8, 9, 1,000 RPMs, it turns the fuel pump on forever. So it ties the two together. As long as I see RPM above 600, I want you to stay on. And that's what happens. The computer looks for the engine to start. It knows that the engine hasn't started in 3 or 4 seconds, so it just hasn't seen the idle RPM, so it just shuts off the pump. It's just a fail-safe method.
But how long does that stay off? A pump, is that a permanent pump failure? Or?
No. Here, I'm the computer. Okay, the key comes on, and I turn on the pump, and I watch the RPMs.
Oh, okay.
And nothing, it doesn't go to 600, so I say, hey, pump, you're wasting your time. He's going to crank until we're all dead, so just shut off now. I'm going to save you. Then when the key goes off, the computer reboots. You turn the key back on, the computer turns on the pump again, and crank. And he says, oh, here we go again. But the third time when the fire car starts up, the computer goes, ah, thank you. And it tells the pump, listen, don't you shut off until I see the RPM drop below 600. When he shuts the key off, I'm going to tell you to shut off. And this happens 300 times a second.
Okay, I've got you now.
All righty.
And thanks very much.
You betcha, Scott. Okay, Thank you very much. I'm sorry we didn't make that clear. Terry, you're up next. How can I help you?
Yeah, good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
I have a 2012 Camaro with a 6.2 engine, and I replaced the original mufflers with Flowmasters, and it wasn't quite loud enough, so I removed the resonators, put straight pipes in there. Well, then I was getting a tinny noise, and it was from those spring-loaded valves that sit behind the resonators, so I had those welded open.
Okay.
Now, my question is, I didn't know those spring-loaded valves were part of the active fuel management. And I haven't noticed any loss in gas mileage. Am I hurting my engine in any way?
No, you aren't. Do you have a check engine light?
It doesn't come on.
Okay. Now, when you're driving down the highway, does it go...
Well, at a certain speeds, Mark, I get a warbling noise.
Okay, you know what that is?
What is that?
You're going to hate those pipes because of this. You should have called me before you spent all that money because I did the same thing. You could learn from my mistakes. The 6.2 in your Camaro, just like my Camaro, I got a blower on mine.
Okay.
You go down the road steady, and it turns off from 8 cylinders. It'll kick you to 6 or to 4.
Right.
The motion of that... of cylinder selection is magnified 100 times by those exhaust pipes. And it is terrible. I drove mine to San Diego, and my daughter had said, Dad, the car's missing. It ain't missing, honey. It doesn't have a check engine light. I scan it real quick. It's okay. I get on the road. I'm not even to Gila Bend. And I call her and say, I'm sorry. It sounds just like it's warbling. That's a good name for it, warbling.
Yep.
But people, my daughter mistook it for missing.
Okay.
I hate that.
Well.
So I'm going to take the computer out, I'm going to send it to California, and I'm going to have them eliminate the cylinder selection. I was going to do that till my wife said, no, you're not, because the car's getting about 28 miles a gallon on the highway.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, you're not going to wipe out the fuel economy. So she says, I'll tell you what you tell everybody else, Mark. Just turn your radio up.
Oh. So. Well, my muffler guy says if this doesn't work, Mark, he would put smaller tips on the muffler, and that might help it.
I don't know that I'd redesign it. Okay. I think I'd sit where you're at now. And you don't have to go through emissions on your brand new car for a couple years.
Okay.
And I think I'd deal with it when I had to deal with it. Did you save your old system by chance?
I did.
Good. Put it in your attic because you might need it.
Yes, I did.
Yep, I got mine too. If anybody wants a new brand new system for a 2010 through 12 Camaro, both me and Terry have a set for
you. Yeah. Mark, did you take your resonator off?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, now here, I found out a way to 90% eliminate that warbling.
How's that?
You put in manual shifting.
Yes, and that will take away cylinder selection.
Yes.
You're right.
And it manual shifting, and it. You mean when that's in cylinder selection, it will not go down to 4 cylinders?
When you're in manual gear, no, it won't.
Okay.
It won't. And when you touch your brakes, it goes off of cylinder selection as well.
Okay.
So I was thinking about flipping a switch and just turning on my brake lights or making the computer think the brake lights are on so it wouldn't go into cylinder select. But then that comes with all kinds of other problems.
Yeah.
So it is technology is just crazy. And first of all, I'm mad at my son for putting that exhaust on there anyway, because I was perfectly happy with that car.
Well, I have an awesome exhaust system.
All right, and let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What your new Camaro, the 6.2 is a monster motor.
Mm-hmm.
About what'd you pay for it?
About 46.
Okay.
It's a 2SS convertible.
Okay. Oh, the convertible.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Uh-huh.
Mine's a 10. Mine's for sale, by the way, folks. Mine's a 10. It's the SS. It's orange and black with the orange and black interior.
Mm-hmm.
And we put a blower on it, which is the same that GM put on all their new cars, and mine's only 39.
Yeah.
And it only has 11,000 miles on it, and most of the miles are from my wife.
Uh-oh.
Okay, Terry, thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you, Mark.
You
and I've had previous cars taken to your shop. I've always enjoyed the work that you folks do down there, and I always recommend Salem Boys.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're
thank
welcome.
You very much. Michael, you stay right there because you're my first caller. I've only got 30 seconds to go, so I can't really take your question, but promise me you'll stay there, and I'll get you right on the other side of the break. This portion of Under the Hood has been brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing, family-owned and operated, quality care in Mesa since 1970. They're equipped to handle anything, major, minor, foreign, domestics. They understand your car's a major investment, and they're going to take care of you as they do their parents. So go visit Brian and Thelma at Thompson's Stapley and Main. On Main Street, just east of Stapley, the south side of the road, Thompson's Auto Repair. Alrighty, welcome back, everybody. Just like I promised, I'm going to take care of Michael. Michael, good morning to you, buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I've got a 2000 Buick Century with 90,000 miles on it, and it's been five years since the coolant has been changed. I went into a shop and I said, should I have the radiator flushed and all that, and add new coolant? He said, well, you could open up a can of worms, and I buy into that. I think I probably could with that old car. And I was wondering, should I just open up the pitcock and at the bottom of the radiator and drain some out and put some as much as I can get in?
You know, you can do that. I don't agree with that at all. I think this is what I would say to him. And, of course, I don't expect all of you to have the technical knowledge that God blessed me with. I'd say, you know, I got a 15-pound cap on that, so that means that pressure can build up 15 pounds of pressure. And I haven't had any leaks or having any problems with it. So do you expect that after you do your flush that you're going to change that? Are you going to up the pressure? And wouldn't you rather take the cap off and look inside the radiator before you make that conclusion? So, you know, yes, the answer is here's what I would do if I were you. You can take the old lower hose off. That's a mess. Or you can just open up the petcock. You're going to stick a garden hose in the top of the radiator. You're going to start it up and turn the heater on. And you're just going to let it run until the water out of the bottom of the petcock runs clean. And then when you're all done, you turn the hose off. It'll drain the radiator. It'll drain some of the block. You'll still have some water. I want you to put a half a gallon of undiluted coolant in it. And then you're going to mix a gallon of coolant with a gallon of water in a 5-gallon bucket and use that to top it off.
Okay.
And then you'll end up with 40 degrees coverage, minus 40 degree coverage, and you'll be in good shape. Now, if you use green coolant, it's got a 35,000-mile interval. If you use DexCool, the orange stuff, then that they say that you can go 100,000. I think you're crazy to do that. I would have liked to seen you do your flush at 80, but 90 is going to be fine with me.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much, Michael. Thank you for holding as long as you did. Clark, you're up next, buddy. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Better than the average bear.
Good. My kid's got a 2005 Impala. I think around 130,000. You've seen it in your shop, steering rack and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
She called me this morning and said that her clock resets every time she starts it up.
Who pays the bill on
that? Radio.
Who pays the bill on that?
I'm sorry, the what?
Who has to pay for this repair?
Oh, I do.
Did my scare you?
Yeah.
No, this is an easy one. It needs a battery. What's happening here is that, and you know what? It's not very doggone often. You need to give her a hug. She's with it. It's not very often do we have a customer give us that, but this is what it tells us. If the first of all, the battery voltage during cranking should never drop below 9.5. We know the seats lose their memory, and the clock will lose its memory, and all your memory presets will be gone when it drops below 8. So what she's saying is, Pop, I'm losing my presets when I start the car, but what that means to me is the battery is bad. So I probably saved you some money, huh?
Well, yeah, maybe so, because the battery's only a year or so old, so I'll have to have them take it back where we got it and check it out.
Yeah, and do you have a digital voltometer, something you can read the battery?
I believe I do.
Okay, positive to negative, go to 12-volt DC or 20-volt DC, put them on the cable, say, honey, crank it, and have her put her foot all the way to the floor, because that'll trim the fuel way back, and you'll get a good cranking. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that when you do that, remember, you're testing the battery where it lives, the voltage is going to drop well below 9.6, maybe to 8 or even 7. And she holds her foot on the floor, and if that's the case, and it still starts the car, it means that it failed the load test, and that battery needs to be replaced.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay. I have another question, if you got a minute.
Go ahead.
I have my company truck, my work truck, is a 2010 Sierra. It's got about 162,000 miles on it, and it developed a vibration. The tires have been balanced multitudes of times. Finally, I took it to a dealer. They did a force balance, and they said the tires on the right side, were a couple ounces out, but it's still doing it. And around 45, it comes and goes.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Do you feel it in the seat of your pants, or do you feel it on the steering wheel in the front?
More on the steering wheel, but on the seat of the pants, too.
Okay, so that means front and back. What I'd do is I'd cross the tires and bring them over to the driver's side and see if that magnifies the problem. Now, when you do a road force, it's not – this machine – it's a very sophisticated machine, and so I'm going to hold you right here. Tim, you're right after Clark, so just stay there too. But I'm going to explain to you why to put it on the Road Force machine balancer is one thing, but to have somebody be extra diligent, where we match the heavy side of the tire with the light side of the wheel, and we go to that extra, it should cost $100 or more, but that's what needs to be done if the Road Force is out of whack. We'll continue this conversation right after this. My name's Mark Salem. I'm your host. The phone number, if you'd like to join us, and the lines are wide open. Tim is waiting for me, but the line is open, 508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Let me finish up with Clark real quick. Before I do that, though, I need to do some business. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. You'd be hard-pressed to find a nicer guy than Kurtz. Just looking at him, you just know he's the kind of guy that if you were broke down on the freeway in the middle of the night and he stopped, you could just look at him and know he's harmless. The real truth is he knows cars really well, and he'll make sure your car is fixed right. Gas, diesel, import, domestics, whatever. Their goal is to give you good service, affordable price, and get you back on the road quickly. Kurtz is located at I-17 and Bell in Phoenix. Give Kurtz Auto a try, and you'll understand why I recommend them. Again, at I-17 and Bell, just on the east side, the north side of the street. Okay, Clark, we first have to make absolutely sure that it is the tire, so I want you to vary the inflation, like 10 low and 10 high. So from wherever they're at now, drop them down 10 and go drive it, see if it affects the vibration. Then go 10 up to where you were, and then 10 on top of that, and go drive it again. That will make sure that it's the tires, because we're going to change the inflation, and that should change the vibration. To do the road force correctly, again, you're going to spend $100, $150, because each tire and wheel is going to be matched, heavy side to the wheel to the light side of the tire. And we can get the road force down into single digits sometimes, maybe double digits, but low. We've seen tires come in there that have been balanced that are 80 road force, 90 road force, 150 road force, and they shouldn't be that way. So the closer we get to zero, the better off we are. But not too many places will spend the time to spin the tire on the wheel, check it, oh, I went too far, come back, oh, perfect. That's what has to happen. Deflate the tire, break the bead, put it back on the balancer. You might put the same tire on the balancer three or four times. So that's kind of how it works. Thank you, Clark. Tim, you're up next. Tim, you got my attention, buddy.
Yeah, Mark, it was about a month ago we were talking about doing a fluid analysis on some motor oil.
Okay.
At the time, and you said go to CAT and get one of their kits, which I did. At the time, I had just changed the oil, so my quick question to you is how many miles from that oil change should I go before I pull the engine oil out and have them analyzed?
Well, you're just going to pull a little bit, and it's up to you, but I prefer, and I think they prefer, like 1,000 miles or 2,000 miles or 3,000 miles. It's okay. You've already done one test, and you did it before or at the beginning of the oil change?
No, I haven't done any tests
okay.
yet at all.
Okay.
We had just had a discussion about going to CAT and getting their kit and having them do an analysis of the fluid.
Gotcha. Okay, how many miles you got on it now? Have you got 1,000?
I got about, let me check, I'm sitting there right now, so it makes it easy, 983 since the last oil change.
Okay, either do it at 1,000 and take a sample out and give it to them, that's your starting point. Then if you go to 2001, you shouldn't have any growth of anything unusual.
All right.
And then so you have two different tests that are 1,000 miles apart, and as long as the metal content is the same as the first one and the zinc and all the things they test for, then that will tell you you're fine.
All right. Great, Mark.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
You betcha. You betcha. 508-0960, 602-508-0960.
Caller Don.
Don, good morning to you, buddy. How can I help you?
Hi. Good morning, Mark. I'm an avid listener and love your show. I just
Thank
have
you.
A question for you about the 2012 Hyundai Equus. How much do you know about that vehicle, and overall, what do you think about it? I'm looking at purchasing one, and I know they're nice. I just wondered what your thoughts were on that car.
I don't know anything about that car. Just, is it a sport utility vehicle, or is it a luxury car?
No, it's a luxury four-door sedan, V8.
Okay.
It's their flagship model. If you've heard of the Genesis, it's
okay.
above the Genesis.
Okay. Let me tell you just in general about Hyundai. First of all, I'm a big fan of Hyundai and Kia. Both of those cars were big pieces of cow manure when they first came out. Everybody that worked on them hated them. The quality wasn't there. They were put together really inexpensive. The parts were hard to access. Information was hard to access. It was almost impossible to, if you pulled a code, you couldn't even find out what the code meant. Now let's fast forward to today. The turnaround from them has been in a short period of time, maybe 10 years, but it's the turnaround between 1981 cars, and believe me, the 80s cars of all brands were the worst cars in the whole wide world, because that's where we were transitioning from carburetor to fuel injection, and we were transitioning from points and condenser to electronic ignition, and emissions too. So anything in the 80s that was born in the 80s is just a junker. But fast forward now, 30 years later, we are in tall cotton. So I like the Hyundai. The parts are no longer proprietary to only the dealers. 25% of them are dealer-only. The rest of them are easily available in other places. The quality of the cars is top-notch. The dependability of the car is top-notch. And even more important than that, the pricing of the Hyundais seems to be very attractive. Now, I don't know how they got from point A to point B, but I can tell you that none of the guys in our shop or anybody else's shop that I know of cringe when a Hyundai or a Kia comes in like used to happen 10 years ago.
Okay.
So,
I guess that's overall a pretty good story.
Yeah, you know what I'd do if I were you? I would say to them, I'm seriously interested in this car, and you have a color I like. Why don't you hang a dealer tag on that and let me drive it for 3 days? Let me drive it and make sure I like it. And I promise you, but let's determine a price right now. So if I drive it and I like it, then I'll keep it and I'll come in and we will arrange how I'm going to pay you. Just do something like that. I do that. They let me have my truck for 3 days.
Okay.
So you got nothing to lose by it. Their question is, well, how do we know you're going to buy it? And the answer is I'm going to buy it if I like it. I mean, I want the car. I'm sold on your line. But The only reason why I wouldn't buy it is if the seat won't move back and I happen to be 6'3", or I sit in the seat cushion because I'm 240 and I feel the motor from the seat underneath my butt, stuff like that. But those are the things that I need to be able to do, and I'll bring you an insurance waiver, and let me drive it for 3 days. What do you got to lose? If he wants to sell the car, he's going to do it for you.
All right, Mark, thank you.
You betcha. Next
caller, David.
David, good morning to you. How are you?
And yourself?
Good, very good, thank you.
Hi, I just like to make a comment for quality transmission.
Sure.
I had my Cavalier taken down there to have a new clutch put in. Pretty much a long story short, I kept having to take it back because it kept leaking fluid out of the reservoir somewhere, but they could never find a leak.
Uh-huh.
And I'd put probably about 20,000 miles on that clutch since they rebuilt it. So they said, just bring them back, and they put a brand new clutch in it, and they put, this time, they put a factory GM master cylinder, some factory stuff instead of aftermarket. And now today, I haven't had a problem with it. It doesn't leak. It's not low, and I put almost probably 5,000 miles on it. So they replaced everything with no questions asked, and I really appreciate that from them.
That's great.
Because it is a drive from Goodyear to Tempe all the time, but they just totally went out of the way to do it, and I really appreciate that. And second of all, I like to comment your shop because I like going to your shop because I deliver stuff there for you, like tires and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And every time I go in there, there's always food in there. I'm like, well, they must treat you well here because they're always buying food all the time. I'm like, this must be the place to work.
You're always welcome to get a soda out of the machine there, and you're always welcome to get a cold bottle of water, and if there's stuff on the counter there, if you see a donut you like or you see a piece of pie, then just take it.
And I noticed you never carry, I know you talked about a couple weeks about those additives and fuel stuff, and I never see that stuff in your store.
Yeah.
So I assume that you must not like to use that stuff.
Well, there is a time and a place to use mechanic in a bottle. First of all, let me tell you, thank you for saying that about quality transmission. That's exactly what makes me so proud of my list of the best car repair shops in town, in the state of Arizona. I heard about that, and they were having trouble keeping the slave inside the bell housing, and they were struggling with where's the leak at, we've replaced both parts, blah, 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 and they were taking the bell housing off and back on. So finally he says, I'm just going to bite the bullet and buy, Delco parts. And those are available both at the dealership and in various other places. But Delco Delphi is the GM line. And I know that they finally got it and they were pretty happy. And one of the questions to me was, how do you think we did? And I said, I haven't heard from the customer, so I think it's great. So now I'm going to cut this out of the tape and I'm going to say, here's what your customer had to say. Let me tell you about the additives. The additives are this. If you bring in your grandmother's Cadillac, like it happened the other day, and you said in the morning, first thing, it starts really bad, runs really rough for about 3 blocks, and then it's fine for the rest of the day. And by the way, I'm having to add coolant to my grandmother's car every once in a while. And I say, well, that Cadillac is well known for water consumptions. It's probably got a bad head gasket or a broken head. Let me check it out. And it did. I said to him, I'm going to put this $28 of stop leak. I promise you it will last 6 months. The symptoms will be gone within a couple of days. But we're going to have to retreat it every 6 months. How much does your grandmother drive every year? He says about 2,000 miles. I said, okay, we should be able to get her for a year. If you've got water in your gas, I'm going to use an additive. If you have a head gasket leak for a temporary basis, I've got the magic lotion for $28. If you have an injector problem, I might add something to the gas tank, and then I'm going to say to you, better, worse, or the same. If you say the same, I might look at something else. If you say I changed it, whether to better or the worse, then I know I'm on the right track. But to put them in your car, because I make a whole lot of money on those, I don't like that. And then, well, we told the story last week. A guy goes in, has work done, and he gets his bill back, and it's a free oil change because he bought the new car. And there's $65 worth of chemicals in it. And he says, I didn't authorize this, but tell me what they are. He says, well, this is the salesman. We put a gasoline additive, which helps clean the gasoline. He says, "Oh, you put something in the tank to help the gasoline clean?" And he goes, "Yeah." He says, "Okay." He says, what's this in the oil?" "Oh, we put an oil additive to make the oil, help the oil lubricate better." And he goes, "Well, what's this third thing?" And he goes, "Well, that's an upper-end engine cleaner because we have such dirty air in Arizona. And I want to tell you, I know who did it. I know what products they used. And what I've just told you is nothing but BS, BS, BS. It's all a lie. The salesman never took the class. He's out there telling everybody it's going to help the oil lubricate better when most of the major oil companies say don't put anything in our oil because it'll throw it out of spec. It just makes no sense. So I'm not going to be a part of that. And the reason why they are is because there's tremendous money in those chemicals. If I spray a little bit of something in the intake, I can charge you $89, $90. And this piece of machine I buy, if I sell five of those a day, I'll make an extra $50,000 at the end of the year. And that's motivation for me to make up all kinds of stories about the magic smoke and the magic lotion I have on your car. And David, not speaking to you, but about what you said, your car doesn't know how well you take care of it. So your car's not going to wake up in the morning and say, "You know, he just put a gas additive, a transmission additive, a power steering additive, an oil additive, a coolant additive in me. So today the alternator's not going to go bad." That's not going to happen. So, listen, you're always welcome. Thank you for – I'm going to tell you the food story. It's my daughter. My daughter is a cook second to nobody in the world. And she just loves to cook for the guys, and the guys just love her for it. So she's often bringing stuff to work, and we all get to enjoy it. So Andy, her name is Andy, and she's there all the time. So if you go in, you say hi to Andy, and just make an order. Just tell her, I'm kind of partial to German chocolate cake, so let me know when you got that going. But anyway, thank you, David. Thank you very, very, very much. Okay, we're going to be back in another hour, but if you'd like to join us, the lines are wide open, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, I'm happy to answer it. If you want to disagree with me, I'm happy to have a lively discussion with you. And if you want me to figure out who's right or wrong between husband and wife and wives' tales, then I'm happy to do that as well, 602-508-0960. We're going to be back at 11 o'clock, about 3 minutes after. So, time to get a cup of iced tea, and we'll be right back.
Ladies,
purposes only.
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master
after
technician.
After dawn, we added Sable, Dave.
Where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. Four minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Thank you for hanging on through the break, and we're going to talk about cars. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. We just talked to David about Quality Transmission, and he was pretty happy with his service. And I think the thing that really he said that just made me blush like a proud papa is that he's been putting up with this for 20,000 miles and they were still shoulder to shoulder with him. And that's the kind of shops all my shops are. Keep in mind, we've never been to arbitration at the Better Business Bureau. We've had complaints as a group, but we've taken them care of them to the Better Business Bureau's satisfaction or to the customer satisfaction, and most always the customer satisfaction. It's not like you're going to be able to complain and get what you want, but if you're right, we don't have any problem understanding that you're right. So, David, thank you for calling and telling us what a great service Quality Transmission did for you, and thank you for sticking with them as long as you did. That's impressive, and thank you. Okay, we're going to the calls because we got a lot. Jim, you're up first. Jim, how can I help you? Hey, Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've got an O2 tracker. Once a month when I'm driving it at night, lights dim intermittently and then come back on. And I wonder if you might be able to help me a little bit.
You know, almost always when that happens, it's a bad ground somewhere. Now, your battery in your tracker is underneath the hood.
Right.
There should be a variety of negative cables coming off of that. The big cable should go directly to the engine.
Right.
But there's going to be one that goes to the front, what we call the core support, which holds the radiator in. Then there should be one to the fender, and there probably is one from the engine to the firewall.
Okay.
When you lose a ground, because the engine's sitting on rubber.
Right.
And so we have to ground everything. If you took a jumper lead and just clipped it to the negative and clipped it to a bare piece of metal at or near the headlights, that may take care of it.
Okay.
The other thing is what do you do when the lights dim? Are you applying the brake? Are you accelerating? Are you using a right turn signal or a left turn signal? What is it that you do that you can make this happen? If you can figure that out, then you cut your diagnostic time in half.
I really can't do anything to make it happen. It's just intermittent on its own, but the ground makes perfectly good sense.
Okay. We'll try that, Jim. Thank you very much for waiting as long as you did.
I got one quick other question.
Sure.
About this is a four-wheel drive, which seems to be very rare. These were made by Suzuki, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Got caught in a car wash. One of the front mud flaps was removed. And it's got like some double-headed nail plastic inserts that hold these flaps on.
Uh-huh.
Unable to find anything like that.
What part of town do you live in?
In Tempe.
I want you to go over to Custom Coach.
Custom Coach
on McClintock, just north of University on McClintock. It's on the east side of the road.
Gotcha.
I want you to go to Custom Coach and tell them this. Have you got your mud flap in your hand?
Not in my hand, but I've got a pretty good idea what it's about.
Okay. And I mean, do you have one that you can take with you?
Yes, I have.
You're going to walk in the front door and you're going to say, I've got a tracker outside and I've got this mud flap that it got ripped off, and there's these special little attachments that go on here. And I've been told that no one in the world can put this back on. But then my neighbor told me about you guys, and he said you guys are really good. That's called waving the red flag in front of the bull.
There you go.
Because he's going to come out and he's going to fix it for you. And because the body shops have thousands of those kinds of little plastic nail clips.
Yes.
And he's going to go out there and go, doot, 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 pop, pop, pop. And then you laugh at him and say, Mark Salem said. And then he's going to say, no charger. And you say, Mark Salem said you said that. And then you can leave.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark.
All right, good luck to you, Greg.
Yes,
all right, Al, you're up next, buddy. Oh, no, it's Greg now. I'm
sorry.
You
got it.
Greg, good morning to you. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good.
I love the listening to you, how to deal with the shops, et cetera. But, however, I have two quick questions.
Okay.
I have an 09 Lucerne, doesn't matter, Michelin tires. The previous owner had two tires stolen, so two tires on the front are a little bit more tread, and the back is a little less tread. How do you rotate them?
Okay. Unless they have an arrow on the side of them, if they have an arrow...
What I'm saying to you is the people that I bought the car from, they had two tires stolen, and the tread on the front is a little bit meatier than the ones on the back.
Okay, I understand.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'd leave them where they're at, because the whole idea of rotation is if you leave the fronts on forever and the backs on forever, you're going to get 20 out of the fronts and you're going to get 60 out of the backs.
Well, I don't mean to interrupt you, but Buick says you rotate diagonally, this, the back, the front, the...
Okay. And it is true, but if I were in front of you, first of all, you can do it either way you want. You can drop the front straight back and the back straight forward. The old idea about diagonal used to be is that the driver's side front wore the least and the passenger side rear wore the most. So we'd take the left front and put it on the right rear to give it
gotcha.
A break, because that's the way it is. But then my dad used to say, well, why is the driver's front the one that gets the least wear? Well, we make more right turns than left turns. And he'd say, no, it's because the driver's heavier. I don't know the answer to that. But the answer to your alignment or your rotation, fronts to back, backs to fronts, or fronts cross and go back, and backs go straight forward, or you can crisscross front and rear, as long as there's not an arrow on the side of the tire that says the mission is directional. And it'll say arrow direction of rotation, and you can't switch sides with that tire, but on your Lucerne, you're not going to have that. So do whatever you want. It makes no difference, but for the time being, if the fronts are a little newer than the back, I'd leave them on there. Let's wear them down a little bit to where they're a little less than the back, and then we rotate them, and we get all the tires balled on the same day.
So what I'm saying to you is, when I went to the local tire shop, they said that their requirement was the better tires on the back.
Okay. All right. You've opened up a whole big can of worms, but I'm going to talk real fast. Our industry is in flux right now. We've been discussing whether we're going to rotate them, where are we going to put the new tires on the front and the back, and are we going to put a born-on date on the tires, and are we going to age tires out? None of that is written in stone. Now, Discount has decided, because they sell so many tires and because they're sued every minute of every day, and I love Bruce Holly. I've never shook his hand, but I think he runs the cleanest operation in the world. But I am not a fan of a repair shop saying that they're not even going to air up a tire that's 10 years old because they don't want to touch the tire, because if the tire blows and kills you and your family, they're going to be in the food chain. So the idea is that many of us say, I'll put the new tires on the front or the rear, where are you most comfortable? There is some science associated with people die more often from a rear tire failure than a front. Okay. Yep. However, our industry hasn't come out with a guideline yet, and we've been talking about it for 5 years. So it's not going to happen. If you were my dad, I would say to you, Dad, put them on the front or put them on the back. Just make yourself happy now that you know both sides of the story. But there is nothing where if you rotate those wrong, God's going to strike your car with lightning. That ain't going to happen.
All right. Second question is real quick.
Okay.
In Arizona, the hot climate, do you put your car in neutral or leave it in drive when at a stoplight?
What does your wife say?
I don't know.
Okay. It doesn't make a doggone bit of difference. It won't make any fuel economy difference. All it's going to do is wear out the linkage on your transmission, which we actually, if we service 10,000 cars a year, we actually deal with the linkage on the shifter about once a year, so you have a 1 in 10,000 chance of having a problem. So
gotcha.
It doesn't make any difference.
Flush or change your transmission?
Well, at the very beginning, we'd want to drop the pan and change the filter because the transmission sheds the most metal in the first 30,000 miles. So we want to get the filter out of there, but then we're going to go a flush and then a filter, then a flush, then a filter, and that's what I do for my mom and dad.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
You betcha. Al, you're up next,
everything.
Buddy. Oh, thank you, Greg. Thank you very much for your kind comments. Al, you're up next, buddy.
Okay. I'm trying to get on here. This guy won't leave.
No. Al, you got to turn off your radio because we have a 7-second delay, and we were done with him like 2 hours ago, and we've just been waiting on you.
Oh, okay. Okay. My radio is off.
Okay, buddy.
Okay. December the 25th, a drunk driver hit me and ran. I've got witnesses and all of that.
Okay.
He hit me so hard till he bent the frame, they say, the upper frame.
Okay.
He knocked the rear wheel off the axle, broke the axle.
Okay.
I had to work completed. Colter Cadillac convinced State Farm that they can fix it.
Okay.
I was coming off the freeway last Friday, and I got off the freeway at 16th Street, and I was on Rosa Road.
Okay.
And the vehicle just suddenly stopped. And I called State Farm, and I called Colter. Okay. Colter told me exactly what it was. They said that it was the fuel pump or sending unit in the tank. They had used the original fuel tank instead of putting a new one on it.
All right.
And what I need from you is somebody, because I'm afraid to drive the truck, because when it stops, there were several vehicles behind me, and everybody had to hit their brakes.
Okay.
And I need from you somebody. I live in South Phoenix or South Mountain Avenue. Somebody that you can recommend to go over that. I just don't trust their work now.
Well, I got a couple of thoughts, but I don't have enough time, so I want you just to hang on right there, okay?
Okay.
Just hold your, and I'm going to talk to you first. Don, Dave, and the lines are open. So as soon as I get done with Al, then Don and Dave's number one and number two. I'll be back in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes or so, and we're going to take these calls and get them. And if you want to get in line, there's open line 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. This is 960 The Patriot, KKNT. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem. Thank you for calling in. We'll take care of some business here. I want to talk about Larry Harker's Auto Repair at 38th Avenue and Indian School. What's special about Larry Harker's, it's like a whole lot of the shops that are in my best car repair shops in Phoenix list. It's a husband and wife. The husband does the work. The wife keeps him straight and the technicians straight. It's the same way at Larry Harker's. Bob and Ellen have worked together. They've owned and operated Larry Harker's since 1989. Their technicians have been with them for forever. They're a trusted source for quality repairs, affordable prices. So if you live anywhere south of Camelback between the 17 and the West 101, all the way down to the 10, that's his area, and he does a fine job. So if you need a good car repair shop, don't forget, 38th Avenue and Indian School, Larry Harker's Auto Repair. Okay, Al, your gas tank and stuff, if no one can diagnose it over the phone, okay, so we just need to get it to a shop. There's a shop on Central and Roosevelt called the Auto Shop.
Central and
Roosevelt. And if you've got a pencil handy, Al, I'm going to give 602-256-6164. And you tell them Mark Salem sent you and arrange to get your car there and have them drive it and test it. And if it's a fuel pump, have them bid you the work. And then tell them, say, I would very much like, do you have a technician that lives in East Mesa? And they go, yeah, we do. And you say, would you have him take my car home tomorrow night? Take it home and drive it back just to ensure that everything's okay. Because nobody can guarantee that something else won't break, but they can certainly do a long test drive, and that's an acceptable question to do. Just tell them don't smoke in your car, okay?
Now, can they check and see if the frame was straightened out?
Well, you're going to do that. You can do it yourself, Al, by watching the tire wear. Because if the frame wasn't put back right, if any corner of that car isn't perfect, then that tire won't be in alignment, and we can't align it into alignment if the frame's bent, so therefore you'll have abnormal tire wear. So just get in the habit of walking around. Now, the front tires, Al, will wear on the outside edge a little bit more than the back tires.
Okay.
So if you're outside wear on both front tires and it's even on the driver's side and the passenger side, that's normal. The back tires, they just follow. They don't turn, so the back tires should have a nice square, flat pattern on them.
Okay.
You just keep an eye. Now, another thing, Al, is take your hands off the steering wheel when there's nobody else around. And if the car goes straight down the road and feels good and it's not pulling hard left or hard right, that's another sign that they did a good job.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you very much, Al.
Okay. I've got that 38th Avenue Indian School.
No, I'm going to...
Central, rather.
Yeah, Central and Roosevelt.
Roosevelt.
And it's called the Auto Shop, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All righty, you betcha. All righty, Don, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Hey, okay. My question is, when you're dealing with an engine builder, I have a friend that has a 1971 Boss 351 Mustang.
Okay.
And he just called me probably 20, 30 minutes ago and told me that his engine threw a rod. We've been messing with this car. It's now a stroker motor. It's 410 cubic inches.
Hmm.
And when it was running, it sounds like a beast. It's got a 4-speed on it, and he's all of a sudden developed this vibration. And he told the engine builder when he had this engine built that he wanted to keep the old harmonic balancer because he wants to keep it stock. This thing's been in a magazine, so it's bone stock. He's got the original harmonic balancer on it. And as an engine builder, that turns out to be what one of the problems is with this engine, is now he had this vibration, and it threw the harmonic balancer right off the front of the motor.
Okay.
And so he's sitting around the corner, and he calls me up, and I needed to give him a ride back to up to his house because he had a flatbed towed up there. And as far as an engine builder goes, when you build a motor, should they not tell you, okay, well, if you want to use this original part, it may not be the best idea to do so, because there might be some structural integrity, because the older harmonic balancers actually had like a rubber media between the actual balancing.
Do you know how much? I understand your question.
You know what I mean? Should they not tell you that, hey, that may not be a good idea? This
no,
motor could.
I don't agree with you.
You don't?
And I'll tell you why. First of all, every guy that walks into a motor builder shop with the kind of hot rod you describe, mm-hmm, doesn't want anybody to tell him how to build his motor. Mm-hmm. We don't get to pick the rods, the pistons, the cams. We don't get to pick the valves and the springs. You do all that. And so it's your job to build the motor right. It's my job is just to make sure that nothing I do goes wrong. But you can't, if he would have dropped a valve, then are you going to be mad at him because he didn't put springs that have another 100 pounds on them? The idea is that everybody has a responsibility when this happens, and that is everybody has to know their place in this kind of a repair. Your friend should have put a $500 fluid balancer on that anyway.
I agree, actually.
Okay?
But
And then the difference between the two of them is $500. Uh-huh. And if he says, oh, boy, what would have happened if he said, I'm not going to warranty your motor unless you put a fluid dampener on it, then all of a sudden that becomes a scare tactic. And now all of a sudden the attorney general's office is down talking to him about fraud and scare tactics. What happens if he says, listen, I'm going to be really uncomfortable. How does he say that? How does he say it? Does he just say,
true.
You know, it's if you say it in any way that threatens or creates the perception that I'm trying to get out of my responsibility because you need to spend more money to protect me, not you, that's a tough way to go. Here's what I think you ought to do. I think you ought to talk to him, and maybe if it threw a rod, God knows the damage it did, but talk to him nice and just say, is there any financial assistance that you can offer us in light of what happened? And yes, we're going to put a fluid dampener on it this time.
2 minutes.
So that's what I do. Be nice, because you'll get a lot more by being nice than with vinegar. And there's no one that knows that better than I do, because sometimes I bite too, and sometimes I regret it. But just have your friend just be nice. But he needs to know what the damage is. So the you got to pull the pan, and you got to look up inside there. Did the rod hit the cylinder wall? Did it pop a hole in the cylinder wall? Did it damage the pan? And do we just need one rod and a crankshaft? And so that's kind of the question.
I guarantee I will be spending hours and hours at a time. We're going to pull this motor again, and we're going to have to go through it. So I've helped him for quite a while over this whole engine thing, and so now it looks like we'll be pulling it again. So, alrighty, I appreciate it.
Okay, you betcha. Thank you very much for calling,
Dave. Thank you.
And let's see who we got next. Let's go to Anthony. Oh no, we have a Dave. That was Don, but let's go to Dave. Dave, good morning to you.
1 minute.
This is Dave again. I talked to you earlier.
Yeah.
I forgot to comment on that. About factory parts.
Oh, you know what? I got no time left, but I understand your question, and let me feed it back to you real quick. Mark, how do you know when to use aftermarket parts and factory parts, and where is that line at? Is that close to it? And I'm thinking it is, and I wanted to talk about that anyway, so you're exactly right. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Action Auto. He's up on I-17 in Deer Valley. Family-owned business, great guy, Tom. Tom, he's a fisherman, and he's one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet. He's got master certified technicians. They do a good job. He's got an A-plus rating at the Better Business Bureau. So if you live anywhere near I-17 and Deer Valley Road, and you don't have a car repair shop or you want to measure yours, go to Action Auto, I-17 in Deer Valley. Well, thank you for hanging on towards the last half an hour of our two-hour show. Every Saturday from 10 to noon, we're here talking about cars. And Dave brought up a good point. I'm pretty sure I think I've nailed it down, and that's the question. David called earlier and said that he had taken his car and had a clutch and some parts installed out on it at Quality Transmission, one of the shops that I refer people to because he's one of the best transmission shops out there. During that process of them trying to identify a hydraulic problem, because he doesn't have a cable that goes from the clutch pedal to the clutch fork. He has a hydraulic system. And I guess they had some leakage problems that were very difficult to find, where it's leaking, when it's leaking, how it's leaking. And so the ultimate ending was, is they did the clutch again 20,000 miles later and put GM parts back on it, or Ford parts back on it, or whatever the heck a kind of car it was, and that fixed it. So the question that you as consumers is, how do I know what's in my best interest? And the answer is you just have to trust the shop. 25% of the parts I install in cars, I have no choice but to get at the dealer. I have to go to Ford or Chrysler or Chevy or Toyota or Honda. The flip side of the coin is I'm never going to put front-end parts on a Ford truck from Ford, because I can triple the life if you let me go to Moog or somebody, TRW. If you let me go to an aftermarket manufacturer that makes a premium part compared to the part you had. I mean, after all, I'm having to replace your tie rod ends at 30,000 miles, and if you let me put these on that don't come in a Ford box, but they're made by the same company that makes those cheap son of a guns you got on your car, I'll give you 90,000 miles of service instead of 30. So each one of us has that deal to issue with. Here's the problem. The technician comes in and he goes, I'm so sick and tired of those aftermarket starters you get, those ones from so-and-so and so-and-so, and I want one from Chrysler. And I say, you know what? The one from Chrysler is $150 more than the one I got you. I'm trying to save the customer money. I don't care. I say, you know what? I don't like you yelling at me, but I'm going to order the Chrysler starter. So I order the Chrysler starter, and he goes, and I watch him, and he puts it in. And guess what? When he gets done putting it in, it has the same problem. It ain't the starter. Would he have told me that? I don't know. The fact of the matter is, that's what happens a lot of times. A lot of times we say, oh, I don't want those windshield wipers. I want these. I don't want that alternator. I want one from Ford or one from Toyota. Folks, there is no such thing as a factory that makes those parts for Toyota only. They buy their belts, their hoses, their water pumps, their alternators, their wiring, their clamps. Everything on your car is made by a subcontractor. Even the sheet metal is made by a subcontractor, perhaps to General Motors specifications, but we can do better. I'll give you a good example. Your car is going to come with one of three kinds of fan belts on it. It's going to be made by one of three companies. All three of those companies have a premium belt that's better than the one that you got on your car. So why would I go backwards? Why wouldn't I go forward? And I can buy the premium belt, I can sell it to you, save you money, and I can make money. So there's the trade-off. Last but not least, sometimes I have said in the past, I've blamed it on the parts to explain why we couldn't see the forest for the trees. I'm sorry I put that aftermarket air compressor on your car. It just really, kicked my tail end. And so I finally went and just bucked up and bought one from Lexus and stuck it in there, and everything's now fine. In reality, I made the mistake.
2 minutes.
But I need a place to blame it. So, so that happens a lot too. So nevertheless, that's how it goes. Dave, if you want to continue this conversation, just email me at mark@marksalem.com. Anthony, you're up next. We got about a minute and a half, and then I'm going to hold you over for the break. But go ahead and give me your question now.
All right, Mark. Hey, I have a 2012 Kia Optima. That's a 2.4 liter in it. And I was just looking over my maintenance schedule. And it says every 7,500 miles, I should be adding a fuel additive. Now, I know you're against adding all these fuel additives and stuff, but in my owner's manual, I mean, it must be something that's pretty important if it's in my owner's manual every 7,500 miles, and that's also when I'm doing my oil services. So I checked, and last time I took the Kia, they put the additives in it.
Well, I believe you, but I've never seen that before in my life.
One minute.
I would love for you to take that to work, copy the front of the books and the back of the book so I can get the part numbers off of it, then open it up and put it on a copy machine and fax me maybe a copy of what you're talking about, because that is very interesting. And what I might do is I might order, you got a 2012, maybe I'll order an 11 or a 10 owner's manual and try to find out when they put that in. Then I'm going to call my Kia and I'm going to say, send me a bottle of that oil additive or the gasoline additive that you have, and I'm going to try to determine what we're doing that for. What are we trying to do? But the idea of flushing or keeping the injectors clean is something that came from the 90s, and today we know that when we flush them and clean them, we do more damage than if we just leave them the heck alone. So you stay right there, Anthony. Can I come back from this break? We'll continue this conversation. But thank you for bringing this up. This is something I've never seen before. Welcome back, everybody. I want to tell you some news that I'm especially proud of. Phoenix Body Works was recently voted as one of the best body shops in Phoenix. And they've been on my best car repair shops list for years and years and years. Greg May, the owner, and his staff have been serving the Phoenix area since 1982. And they do everything. If you want an estimate, they'll give you one. They'll give you a written lifetime warranty, and they've been around a long time. And they are the insurance claim professionals. So they can take the hassle out of dealing with your insurance company, because they'll arrange the rental car, and they'll keep you informed, and they'll make sure that they're a good middle person between you and your insurance company. And they'll tell you when you need to ask or complain, and they'll tell you when you're wrong. You can't get better than that. The Arizona law says it's your vehicle, and you choose the body shop you want, so your insurance company can't do that. They may want to send you someplace, but really, you pick the shop. So if you're in North Phoenix, Anthem, New River, anywhere up north, anywhere near 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road, then my suggestion is remember the name Phoenix Body Works. It's the best place around. Okay, we're going to continue to talk about something that's kind of important. We were talking about the parts, the aftermarket, stuff like that. Not the worst thing, but one of the things that causes us car repair shop guys a little bit of heartburn is the customer that comes in with a Honda and wants all Honda parts. The bill's going to be more, and I can't talk you out of wanting a Honda oil filter, because Honda, it's a Champ, or it's a Wix, or it's an oil filter with the paint of Honda on it, and they're all made to minimum standards, and nobody goes crazy with the standards, so it's a good idea that after you develop faith in your shop to just let them pick your parts. Now, it is true that we make more on the aftermarket parts than we do the dealer parts. However, the pricing issue has blown completely up in our face over the last 2 or 3 years since the economy. And now you can call and get a specific part number price, and then you can call around and find out that everybody has a different price for it. So everybody understands that we're not really capped at that list price part. And I think I told you a couple of weeks ago, and I think I still have that information here somewhere. Yeah, here it is. The computer on a particular vehicle, is $1,035 at one place, $1,100 on the other, and $1,242. So the difference is $200, which is out of $1,000, is 20% between the high and the low on the same computer for a car. Let me show you the wire harness. The wiring harness is a low of 133 up to 240. That's almost double. And these are the same part numbers. So you have to trust your shop. You have to trust your shop that he isn't going to be taking everybody's head off with parts pricing, because he's been around a long time. He doesn't have 15 girlfriends. He only has one wife, and the kids are all grown, and they've already been schooled, and they're out of college, blah, blah, blah. But there's lots of reasons why shops decide to take advantage of customers, and the worst thing is when they tell you they put in a premium part, and they charge you for the part, but they don't. And that's called shopping the price. So I call and I say, this hose, what's your cheapest? He says, $8, your cost. What's the most expensive, my cost? List price. 32. Okay, so he buys the cheap at 8 and he charges you 32. That's something you probably won't catch him doing, but that happens in about 10% of the cases. 10%. It's not widespread, it's just 10%. Okay, we were talking
about a variety of different things, but I want to back up a space. Do we have any callers, by the way? Okay. All right. Well, we've got technical problems on their end right now because the phone system is acting up, so I'm going to just talk you through something. In our industry, I would venture a guess that 80% of the shops in Phoenix play by the rules. 80% of the shops in Phoenix understand how to identify the problem, fix the problem, make the customer happy, and still make a profit. What's important for you to understand from a non-businessman point of view, if you were to go to Dun & Bradstreet and ask them about a car repair shop, and let's just take an average shop in Phoenix that does $1 million a year, Dun & Bradstreet will tell you that the average repair shop gets to keep 6 to 8 cents out of every dollar. 6 to 8 cents out of every dollar. Now, Uncle Sam still hasn't bit him. So if he pays 30% taxes on the 8 cents, then he's down to 6 cents. So 6 cents out of every dollar he actually gets to keep. There's some shops out there that brag about double digits. I'm 12, I'm 15, I'm 18. But I'm an old codger. I want to see your books. Let me see your P&L. Now, most of us in the auto repair industry, the first 5 years of being in the repair industry, we weren't good businessmen. We were too busy being techs. We were too busy fixing cars. But as we got older, as we got grayer, we started learning our profit and loss statements and our balance sheets. And we learned things. Like my accountant said to me in 86, she says, you cannot continue to give your family a 25% discount because you're only making 8 cents on the dollar. If you give them a 25-cent discount, why don't you just fix their car for free and let them leave with a $10 bill? It's true. Her name is Colleen. Her maiden name was Waters. Colleen Waters was her maiden name. She's now Colleen Carpenter. She's the finest woman. She's been with us since 1979, 1980. And she's a certified public accountant. And she tells me stuff like that. She did when I was younger. But that's the way it is we're not the sharpest guys, we're not the sharpest knives in the drawer, and many shop owners transitioned up from technicians, and they don't have a business background like me. I've got a business background just because I've been in it so long. I had to. But 80% of the shops in town. Now, let me give you the idea of what the bad ones look like. First of all, the bad ones are going to want to be paid cash up front. The bad ones are going to shop your car like you've never shopped before. You're going to go in there for an oil change, and they're going to give you a laundry list of $200, $500, or $1,000 worth of work that you absolutely have to have. They're going to tell you all kinds of things with your car, and your defense is going to say, what symptom are you going to fix with those $1,200 worth of shock absorbers? Folks, we install $1,200, $1,500, and $2,000 worth of shock absorbers on all kinds of cars. I tell the customers this. I'm happy to do it, and I agree that you need them at 100,000 miles. I'm going to call you a month afterwards, and I'm going to have one question for you. And it's, how can you feel the difference? And you're going to say yes. And I'm going to say to you, was it worth $2,000? And you're going to say no. Yeah, there's a safety issue about if your shocks are pushing down on the tire on the roadway and all that other kind of stuff, but I'm going to assume that most of you don't drive race cars and most of you aren't taking curves, 45-mile-an-hour curves at 80. I'm going to assume that you drive normally. I'm going to assume that you're wide awake. So the bottom line is that you just protect yourself, and the default is always no thank you. The default is always write it down, sign your name, I'll deal with it when I have to deal with it. Because I promise you, if he's telling you that you need a full set of brakes and he knows you don't, he's not going to sign anything and he's not going to sign his name and he's not going to say anything about it. He's going to give it to you verbally, but he won't give it to you in writing. So that's kind of the important parts of it. The four parts is symptoms. Deal with symptoms and let them earn your respect and your trust and your patronage. Go in for an oil change. See how they treated you. Check the bathroom out. That's always funny because my wife and my daughter and I too, we take care of the bathroom, the public bathroom, and it's very clean. We get complimented on it, and you'd be surprised on
And men don't really care because they're the ones that mess it up, but the women really care. So the idea is what symptom do I have that you're going to fix? Well, you need a big oil. You got a bad oil leak. Okay, what color is the oil? Brown. Where is it leaking from? Well, it's right in front of the driver. Well, you know, I park it inside the garage every night, and I never see anything like that. Let me go home and see if I see now exactly where. Is it like right in front of me on the hood? Is it right in the corner of the hood? Is it about where my feet are at? Oh, no, it's in front of your feet about a foot. Okay, good. I'll look at home. But why don't you write down that oil leak and the oil leak repair, and then, you know, attach your business card to my work order and give me a price and all that kind of stuff. You got a power steering hose seeping. Seeping, weeping, and wet are words used by technicians when they don't want to get caught lying. Here's how it sounds. Your power steering hose is slightly wet, but so is a brand new one that I'm going to install tomorrow. I'm not concerned with wetness. You haven't added power steering fluid to this thing in years, because I do it. I check your power steering fluid when you bring it in for an oil change, and I don't ever see any power steering fluid on there. So I've got this one little fitting that's a little bit wet. It's going to get worse, and when it gets worse, it'll leak on the ground, and you'll see it, and then you bring it in, and it's going to be a red fluid. Are you okay with that? Thank you very much. That's what it's supposed to be. But I had a guy the other day that took his car in, and they said the motor mounts are bad, and he took it to a couple other shops, and they said, no, they aren't. So he took it back to the first shop, and the first shop told him anything that's not 100% needs to be replaced. Anything that's not 100% needs to be replaced. And my response to that is two questions. Does that apply to the cars you service under warranty? Because anything, I mean, after 15,000 miles, there's nothing on a car that's 100%. So if I've got a 60,000 miles warranty, then let's put a new transmission, an engine, and let's just replace the whole car front to back at 60 when my warranty's over. If your philosophy is that anything that doesn't provide 100% perfection needs to be replaced. Let me compute that for you. He says, you caught me in a lie, and I don't know what else to say. They had the audacity. And then I said, you know, I'm going to come over and look at their used car lot. And let's see how many of their used car lots that goes through that same service department, how many new parts they have on them. Let's see if they really practice what they preached with their used car sales. Now, I don't beat up dealerships any more than I beat up independents. I talk about our industry. I talk about the independent shops. I talk about the chain stores. I talk about the specialty shops like brakes and exhaust and paint and body. And I talk about the dealers. I talk about all of us because we're all guilty of some of these sins. But I bring them to your attention because that's what makes me happy. And it also makes me happy when you tell me that I saved you some money. Now, my younger years wasn't really the best. I wasn't the best kid on the earth when I was born up until the time I graduated high school. But afterwards, I was a policeman for 10 years during the 70s. And I think I kind of redeemed myself there, but I still have some more to pay back. And this is how I do it. I do it by guiding you through car repairs, and I don't have an agenda. I'm not trying to get you to come to my shop. As a matter of fact, I never mentioned the name of my shop. It got mentioned once today, but not out of my mouth. My job is to give you good information. My job is to help you understand car repair, answer your questions, and to guide you if you want me to. That's my job. It has nothing to do with selling you anything. I'm not going to sell you chemicals or anything, but I am going to tell you one thing. I'm going to do a free commercial right now.
2 minutes.
I want to stop drinking soda pop. So I've been drinking lots of water. And I just don't like water. So my wife went out, and I have this little bottle here in front of me. It says Dasani Drops Flavor Enhancer, and she got me strawberry kiwi. This makes 32 servings. So you take this little bottle, I have no idea how much it is, and you take your glass, and you go squirt with red liquid, and then you put cold water in there and some ice, and you zip it around. It's just a flavor enhancer. There's no calories. There's no nothing. And it is awesome. It actually puts some flavor. There's all kinds of flavors, but it puts some flavor in your water. And because of that, I have absolutely quit drinking soda pop. Now, you have to understand, in our lobby, we have a free soda machine. You walk over, you get a cup, you push the button, get ice, you get one of six different flavors. That wasn't the best thing for Mark when we put that in, but we put it in for the customers and the vendors and for the guys that deliver our parts.
1 minute.
Here's a soda for you for free. Here's water for you for free. But if you're like me and you want to quit drinking soda altogether, try these Dasani, Dasani drops, flavor enhancer. I'm not getting paid to do this. I'm just telling you, this is something that's really helped me quit drinking soda pop. And I'm going to start carrying a little pocket of these, a little bottle of these in my pocket, so when I order water places, I can just add a little. And they're going to come by and charge me for a strawberry soda pop or something. But nevertheless, my email is mark@marksalem.com. My website is marksalem.com. If you want me, go to my website. You'll find me there, marksalem.com. Until next week, it's Saturday, 10 o'clock. God bless you. Please wear your seatbelt. Please do me a favor. Don't drink and drive. Don't put your life and other people's lives in jeopardy. And when somebody does something nice, stick your arm out the window and say thanks.